That's a good one. Anyone got a bad habit? Don't put your hand up. It's great. You know, I'm starting an interest group as well, if you'd like to be a part of it. It's book club. It's for girls. And, it's for girls. And we're going to be doing some reading of books throughout the year. And we can call it an interest group, a connect group, whatever you like. You can join this even if you can't make it, because I know there are mums that can't just get out on a weeknight once a month over coffee to do this. But so you can actually follow this and be a part of this and not even attend. That's a pretty good connect group, isn't it? But I do want to encourage you to also come out. It's called Choose Joy. It's the first book in a series of books that I'm going to be looking at this year, and I'd love you to be a part of it. You can actually buy the book out at the bookshop, put your name down, and then when we've got a quorum of women, we'll actually kick off. And I've been, as I said, around for a long time, and I know this, but I don't apply it. So what I love to do in my holidays is, I read this book in my holidays, one of the things I love to do is to basically go back and revisit areas where I think, you know what, I could do with a bit more of that. Loved this book. It's an easy read. It's not theological. Last time I did book club, I was nearly stoned because we did Dallas Willard and the Divine Conspiracy. If you've ever heard of Dallas Willard, he's one of the leading theologians, and you don't get him. So I promise you, this is much easier reading. And girls, I'd love you to be a part of that. As I said, if you're a mum with a couple of babies and you can't come to a book club, read the book anyway. And you know then that you can be a part of a group and you'll be getting the same kind of food, and you can always email me and tell me your thoughts if you can't make it. So avail yourself of that. Hey, guess what? 75,000 in our future. Come on. We're up to 75. Now, the banks still want another 25, so I'll leave that up to you. No one thought, you thought that was funny. Okay, moving right along. Now, that's our building program we have for our church. It's called Our Story, Our Future. And it's about what God is doing in all of our lives. We took our building offering up a few weeks ago. We need to hit 100,000 for our bank. And we're up to 75. So I think that's just fantastic. Well, let's get into the message this morning. So the title of my message is, What Are You Afraid Of? What are you afraid of? About 4 years ago, I had a health issue that I wasn't expecting. I'd gone to see the doctor because I wasn't sleeping, and I came out with a very different diagnosis. I thought I was just going to get some sleeping tablets to kick me back into sleeping, and he said, no, actually, you've got X. That really threw me. I came out of that surgery, and the weird thing was, even though it wasn't life-threatening, what happened immediately, I was gripped by fear. But it wasn't fear about my health. It was actually, I became very fearful about everything. I became so bad that it was actually started to grip me. I became fearful of my marriage. I've been married to a great guy for nearly 27 years, and all of a sudden I would get this irrational thought that he was going to leave me. I'd then get this fear about my children. I kept thinking that my children were going to end up junkies, hookers, you name it, out on the side of the street, you know, and my kids were just going to go off and do the most ridiculous things. I became very fearful about other things. I used to become fearful when I walked into church. I was so frightened that I would get here on a Sunday morning and there would be no one here. Irrational, I know, because some of you just can't get rid of Dom Sinek. Coming for 18 years, nearly 19 years. Not listening, that's Dom. He taught me how to drive. The fears were irrational. Became frightened that I was going to end up bitter, lonely, and alone in some little divey flat all on my own. That's what I imagined. The fear became very real. So the dictionary definition of fear is that it's a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, pain, etc. Whether the threat is real or imagined, the feeling or condition of being afraid. Synonyms are foreboding, apprehension, consternation, dismay, dread, terror, fright, panic, horror, trepidation, and qualm. So this morning I've got a question for you. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of ending up alone? Maybe you're a young person here today and you're worried that you're not going to find a great girlfriend or a great boyfriend. The only option you'll have is to go out and find someone else that maybe has different values to you. Are you afraid of getting sick? There are a lot of people that are afraid of getting cancer. What about kids going off the rails? What about uni students failing exams? I went through one of those last semester. My goodness, stressful. What about dying? As a pastor, I've met many people over the years that are afraid of dying. Guys, this is a big one for you, not achieving success. There's this invisible line of what success should be in our life. And the weird thing is that the bar just keeps getting lifted higher the more that you achieve. Or maybe you've had it said to you that you should be a lot further down the track of where you should be. What about trying new things? As we get older, it gets harder to do things that challenge us and push us. And so we can want to stay comfortable because where we are now is quite good. What about not measuring up the expectations of what people have put on you? There's a certain standard you need to measure up in. What about being afraid of disappointing God? It's been a big one for me over the years. Many times I felt that I failed God. I know a lot of people that are afraid of financial hardship. Fearful. That's why people often don't give to God, is because they're fearful. If I let go, I'll be disadvantaged. One that's not on here, but what about fearful of inviting someone to our Easter services? The embarrassment of someone saying, what, you're a Christian, you go to church, or the fear of someone saying no. So what are the causes of fear? Well, one of the causes of fear is our imagination. I've got a short YouTube to explain it to you very well. You know, often fear can be in our imagination, can't it? We can actually think that there's something there that's not actually there. Another cause of fear is sin. When we do wrong, we actually become quite fearful. What will God do? Fear can be caused through ignorance. Have you ever had a situation where you've actually not been in full possession of the facts and that's actually caused you to be frightened? But then when you got full possession of the facts, you were thinking, what was I worrying about? Another cause of fear can be doubt and also poor self-image. We can actually be, because of our poor self-image, we can actually become frightened. We can actually become quite timid people. So some of the symptoms of fear are anger. Fear, I won't get my own way. There can be greed. Fear, I won't have enough. There can be rejection. Fear of not being accepted. There can be guilt, fear of being found out. It can be lack of confidence, fear I don't measure up or I may fail. Or jealousy, fear about losing control over someone. So these are some of the symptoms of fear. And the consequences of fear is that fear will steal our joy. It'll steal our happiness. We could go to the next slide. Our peace and our contentment. So fear will rob us of our future. Children of Israel defeated the greatest empire of their time, the Egyptians. There was a first-hand experience of God as a cloud and a fire. They saw the parting of the Red Sea. They saw the provision of food, quail and manna, God's personal guarantee that they would inherit a land. And yet they became very fearful. And I want to say to you this morning that the devil has an interest in you being fearful because they had lost sight of who they were. Numbers 13 verses 33 says, "We were like grasshoppers in our own sight." They'd become paralyzed by fear. Yet they were the ones that people feared. As they went through conquering different lands, people became very fearful of them. But then when they got to the place of promise, they were the ones that became increasingly lost sight of who they were. And there will always be a battle to achieve something greater in your life. If you're fearful about something, it's a battle that you're going to have to go through. So how do we overcome fear? This is really where I want to get to this morning. Firstly, fear is not from God. We need to recognize it's not from God. "For I did not give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind." You see, fear is a spirit. It comes upon us. God's spirit is what we need to put on. Where there's a spirit of fear, we need to go to a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. You know, that's why it can be so hard sometimes to invite someone to church. We can know that it's a good thing to do. We can know that it's going to impact someone's life positively. We can do that, but often there's this spirit that comes upon us of fear. And so what happens is we become frightened about asking someone. And what we need to do in that situation is we actually need to go, "No, I recognize what that is, and I'm actually going to get rid of that, and I'm actually going to put on what God says, a spirit of love, a spirit of power, and I'm going to have a sound mind," which we're going to come to. Thirdly, we need to acknowledge fear's presence. You know that acknowledgement of anything in your life will break the power over it. That's why in Alcoholics Anonymous, the first thing you must do is you must acknowledge that you're an alcoholic. And so what that does, it'll break the power of something. If you're fearful in a situation, you need to break its power, and you do that by confession. So for me, when I went through the situation of becoming irrationally fearful about things, I needed to acknowledge that I'd become fearful. I also needed to acknowledge that it was ridiculously irrational. But, you know, as we saw with Mr. Bean, that a lot of our fear can be imagined. We imagine it. Girls, we do this really well. We love to have a 5-year plan of everything that's going to happen in life. And we tend to worry about things that aren't even there. And so what we need to do is we need to acknowledge its presence so it will break the power of it. As you're sitting there, I would love to encourage you to start thinking about things. What am I fearful of? You see, we need to identify what the cause is. Why do you get frightened about things? Why do you think that there is going to be no partner for you in life? What's your thinking? What's the cause? Sometimes fear can come through our family of origin. You know, our parents are in their desire to protect us have actually created fear in our life. Where we say to our children, if you go too close to the fire, you'll get burnt. And so there are things that even though that they are sensible things, there are things that create fear. For me, it was work. I was frightened about work. I have a tendency to be a workaholic, and the cause for me was my family of origin, where work was always pushed and pushed into me, that you had to always be working. And so while that's not a bad quality, what it can do, though, is produce a fear in our life because we're frightened if we're not working. Years ago, Nigel was about to go to Bible. We had a situation where Nigel's company amalgamated with an Eastern States company, and we'd been married a few years. And we were sensing God leading him into Bible college, and that was going to be, you know, a long process. And I remember his company amalgamated and he was retrenched anyway. And I never will forget a picture of sitting at the kitchen table with my pastor and Nigel and I am sobbing uncontrollably. I'm like, now I was working and had a fantastically paid job. It was just the two of us. We had a small mortgage. And I remember I was just sobbing and sobbing. And I said to my pastor, how are we ever going to survive? And he looked at me. He had four kids, a wife at home, a mortgage, and he was a poorly paid pastor. And he just looked at me. And I sobbed and I sobbed and I sobbed because my family had told me that you needed to work. So for a husband to go to Bible college and for a wife to support him was terrifying. And so all of us have got areas in our life that we're fearful of. We can be fearful of the person that we're going to marry. We can be fearful of going into a relationship because we're scared. Because we've seen what's happened to others. You know, commitment's a big challenge in our society at the moment, isn't it? Whereas we just know that people don't want to commit to anything because they've seen. Nigel had a friend for many years who his relationships would last about 2 years. And these girls were flipping gorgeous. I mean, they were gorgeous. And but every 2 years, he would end the relationship and go into another relationship. And when Nigel spoke to him about it, he said, you know, do you see that there's a pattern happening here? He said, I just can't commit because of my parents divorcing when I was a child. I'm too frightened of the consequences. So the cause can be often, we can see what's happened to others, but it also can be because of a low self-image. You were told that you couldn't do that. So what do we need to do? We need to reprogram the brain with different thoughts. Who here has heard of Olympia Lapointe? Jasmine, you must have. Okay, let me explain who she is. She grew up in downtown California. She lived next door to a crack cocaine house. Her family were very poor, and a mother would make the children sleep in a certain direction so that if bullets came through the walls, they would hit their feet and not their head. So at least they'd be maimed and not killed. At the age of 10 years of age, she was beaten by another 10-year-old gang member in her class so severely that she had to take 5 months off school. Her mother moved her into another school, which meant that she had to commute 2 hours each way every day. She failed algebra, geometry, chemistry, calculus, until a teacher took her on and tutored her. For 1 hour of free tutoring, she would need to travel 2 hours a day each way once a week. She eventually passed high school. She enrolled in a university or college, as they're known in America. But then in 1994, the college that she was attending was hit by one of the worst earthquakes in America, and 8,700 students were injured. She was caught in the earthquake with her classmates. 56 of them were killed, and her friend was killed. She was buried, but she actually survived. She got up out of the rubble and then went on to graduate. She became the youngest engineer ever to be employed by NASA. And she successfully landed 28 NASA missions in space. She's referred to as the young Einstein, and she's written the best-selling book, Mathophobia, which is about overcoming the fear of maths. And in her motivational talk, she says the way to overcome fear is to reprogram the brain. Like a computer that gets a virus, where you need to wipe the hard drive and reinstall new software so we too can reprogram our brains. Romans 12:2 teaches us how to reprogram our brain with different thoughts. it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus is what we use as the antidote to fear. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The mind is a muscle that needs to be worked. All you that are going through WACE exams and university will know that your brain needs to be trained. The thing is, as Christians, is that we can become a bit lazy and think that we can just read the book and it's done. We'll be joyful. But we actually need to reprogram our thoughts, which means through being renewed, our mind needs to be renewed on a daily basis. We need to be saying to ourselves that the thoughts of fear we need to replace with the thoughts of God and how God feels about us. The sixth thing we can do to overcome fear is to take action in direct opposition to our fear. The Bible says, God says, let the weak say, I am strong. Does that mean that you feel strong? No, but it's you're saying that you're strong. And so what you're doing is you're going into the opposite direction to the way you feel. And so we need to recognize that. We need to recognize that the way we overcome fear is to go in the complete opposite direction. We're weak, yes, but I'm strong. And lastly, we need to trust God at His word. At the end of the day, fear comes down to not believing God. We don't believe that God will do what He says is true. My observation is that Christians will often think that the word of God doesn't apply to them, but it applies to others. So we'll read in Romans where God says that I love you and nothing can separate me from your love. But we'll often read that and go, well, He doesn't mean that about me. He means that about someone else. How could God love me? Because I've done this, 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 and this. Or I failed in so many ways. And so what we do is we don't trust God. Or we're fearful to trust God with our life. You know, we're fearful over our finances, so we hold on. Or we're fearful in a relationship, so we'll try and control someone. Because if we can control them, then we won't be frightened. And so what we must do is we must trust God at His word. And so fear comes right back down to a lack of trusting God. Again, it's reprogramming. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You know, one of the things I did yesterday, it was such a glorious summer's, autumn's day. I was down at the beach and I was just thinking about a situation that's causing me to be very anxious. And I just kept saying, God, you're the Prince of Peace. You are the Prince of Peace. I can choose anxiety in this situation. I can choose peace. Okay, God, I'm going to choose peace. Okay, how do I do that? The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 says, it's love, joy, peace. Okay, God, I need your peace. Holy Spirit, I need you right now to fill me with your peace. Has the situation changed? No. But the way that I need to look at situations needs to change, or you will stay stuck. And the children of Israel said, we look like grasshoppers in the sight of the enemy. What happened was that they lost sight of the powerful person that they were. And God says, I gave you a spirit of power. You can knock that sucker off. I gave you a spirit of power. What is it that you're frightened about today? Everyone here, I am sure, would be frightened about something. You don't, may not even realize it. And that's the weird thing. When I became unwell and started working through that and started a process of renewing my mind, the thing that I became aware of, weirdly, was that I often would hear people say how frightened they were about different situations. And I was like, no way. There are so many people that are frightened. And I would just hear what would come out of people's hearts, this fear. And so we've got to be renewed. We've got to exercise the muscle of our brain. We've got to reprogram our brain to go, God, you're the Prince of Peace. You're going to give me peace in this situation. God, your Holy Spirit will do that. So it's not self-talk. It's the Holy Spirit's job to give you peace. It's a fruit. So relationship with God, when we're in relationship with God, He'll start to give us that fruit. will start to display the characteristics of it. You know, this is the scripture that God gave me, and I'm going to let you in on it because I like you. You can have this for free. Isaiah 41, verses 10 to 13. We sing this song. I used to sing this song. Fear not, for I am with you. What was that, an 80s song? Was that back in the 80s? All right, I'll stop there. So uncool, those songs now, aren't they? Okay, this came from Isaiah 41. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you. Who does that? He's always anxious. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my right hand. Right hand means authority and power in the Bible. Now listen to this. Who is saying this? Tell me who's saying this. Who's saying it? What's God? Who? What is God saying? Do not fear. God is telling you not to fear. Do not anxiously look about you. For who? For I am your God. Who? I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. Church, this is the application this morning. Get this point. Who is going to look after you? Who is going to help you? Who is going to strengthen you? That's not bad. That's pretty good. You've got God. You've got God. So that's God's side of the contract. This is what I'm going to do for you. Our side of the contract is we've got to believe him. As I said, we can go, nah, 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 nah. He doesn't really mean that. Nah, 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 nah. I've got to worry. I've got to be jealous. I've got to be angry. I've got to be fearful. The best indicator for me to know when I'm anxious is I get angry. I'm not effing and bliming, but I'm beeping and bopping at every person that drives past. You idiot, what are you doing? Rah, 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 rah. The kids know, they scatter because I'm anxious. So for me, that's an indicator to go, okay, God, I need to, okay, all is not well with my soul. Okay, I go back to this. This is on my fridge. This is my scripture for the year. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. Come on, don't fear. Don't fear about your finances, because I'm with you. Don't fear about the future, because I'm with you. Don't fear about who you're going to find as a life partner, because I'm with you. Don't fear about ill health or dying, because I'm with you. Don't fear about inviting someone to Easter service, because I'm with you. Don't fear about losing whatever, because I'm with you. Don't fear about not being successful, because I'm with you. I am your God. So what God will do is he'll strengthen you. That's the muscle. We need muscle on the inside. We need more and more resilience. And so what will happen is, the more you get this, the more, as you start to work this in your life, the less fear that you have, the more peace that you have in your world, you'll develop capacity for more. That's what trials will produce in your life, the capacity for more. You have capacity for more. The less you're fearful about, the more capacity you will have to do God's will in your life. The more you'll take chances over things that you need to be taking chances over. It was said on the screen a week or two ago that one of the things this church wants to do is plant campuses. That terrifies me. Absolutely, utterly terrifies me. I have planted a church and I know the cost. I've got the scars on my back. It terrifies me. But it's also God's will. So what have we got to do? We've got to step into it. What is it today? We've got to face our fear. We've got to step into it. What are you facing today that you need to step into and you need to see? Because if it's the will of God for your life, it's going to be okay. He will strengthen you and he will help you. And surely, if God is with you, who can be against you? So in conclusion, I've got homework for you because that's my personality. Oh, I love it. Okay. You've got to do something this week. You know, we can come to church, we can listen, we can go out, we can do life. But for me, as I said this morning, is I just want to see people overcome. You're not going to get it from a 25-minute sermon. You're going to have to apply it to your life. And so what I want you to do is I want you to go home sometime this week and I want you to ask the question, what am I fearful about? If you don't think you're fearful about anything, I'm awesome. But ask God, is there anything you may be fearful about? The Holy Spirit will show you. God doesn't want to show us our flaws or our faults because he's a loving father. What he wants to do is he wants to give you an upgrade. And the way he needs to upgrade you is by saying, that area I need to work on. So everyone in this room, he wants to keep upgrading. Isn't that awesome? Don't you just wish that was Qantas's viewpoint in life? God's viewpoint is an upgrade. He wants to give you an upgrade. Stop looking at God and thinking you're a disappointment and a failure to God. You just couldn't be. It's impossible. He wants to give you an upgrade. So your upgrade is we want to get you from being in a place of fear to a place of faith. That's the outcome. The outcome is where you're going to start trusting God. And listen, it's scary, trusting God, because we've got to let go. Got to let go. So spend some time this week thinking about areas that you were fearful in and what lessons today can you apply that will help you. And you can have these messages. I can email those to you. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. On your chairs as you leave today, you will find a flyer about our Easter services. I would love you to take one of those and give it away. Invite someone next week. I was having coffee with someone this week who doesn't attend our church and she's on a journey and she was telling me about one of her kids. And I was like, you know, we talk about God quite a bit. And I was like, my God, you're the answer. You are the answer to people's lives. Church, Jesus Christ, hope of the world. My prayer today is that you will take those flyers and you will give it out to someone. Say, come on, we have such an awesome time at Easter. Great service. We've got a play, multicultural lunch. There's an animal farm. There's pony rides. It's ridiculous. You should come and see that church is a joyful place. Church is alive and living. God, I pray today. I pray, Holy Spirit, right now. People have been fearful about life. Father God, I pray that they will just start to just take Isaiah 41. Let that be the scripture of our church. Father God, do not fear and not be anxious, for you're with us. God, I pray that over every person today. I pray, God, that you will just encourage them. I pray, Father, where they are struggling with a certain area, God, you're just going to give them keys. God, you're going to give them a scripture to change the situation. God, where they haven't trusted you before, they're going to start to place their trust in you. Father, we pray that right now. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will fill your people with the fruit of the Spirit. One of those is peace. May people feel the peace of God. Jesus, you're the Prince of Peace. Father, we come to you with all our anxieties. Father, the worries of life and the cares of life. You say to come to you. Father, we come to you right now and we lay them down. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Yes, God. Peace come. I pray that spirit of love and of power and a sound mind we will grasp right now.